You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks.
You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. Brought to you by the generosity of Hutton Broadcasting. I just had the pleasure of meeting Scott Hutton. Nice guy, so we really appreciate the generosity. New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico State Film Office, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. We have Toby Ives and John Armijo later in the hour. But first, on the phone, we have Rich Henrich. He's an entrepreneur, writer, producer, actor, teacher, and mentor. He created the Film for Change, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to changing community through story. And together with his partner, they created the Cancun International Film Festival, survived two hurricanes, produced a feature film, several shorts, commercials, the Film for Change Award, and the Albuquerque Film Festival, and a production company and film studio in Detroit. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you very much, Dirk.
I didn't want to spend the whole time reading your entire bio. You've done a lot of stuff. Why don't you give us a little background?
Well, I think the short background is, never really wanted to get into film. And accidentally had a roommate that was a cinematographer and asked me to write. I'd been writing stories, so wrote a script that turned into a film. I asked me to produce it, and then I got kind of hit by the bug. And that was about 13 years ago. And so I'm still actually, making films and doing projects with that same partner today.
Terrific.
That brought us to Santa Fe. We did a film in 2007 called Star Watch, which we produced out at Garson Studios, which is just a small indie sci-fi film. Got caught up in the land of entrapment and stayed here, taught for a few years at IAIA and got involved with the Santa Fe Film Festival and then created the Albuquerque Film Festival not too shortly after that.
Terrific. So the film you made in Santa Fe, was that that was the first time you were in Santa Fe?
That was the first time. Came sight unseen. It was really a last-minute company move. We lost the location in Arizona where we were planning on shooting and had about a week to turn everything around. And fortunately for us, there's this great thing called the incentives in New Mexico. And Garson Studios was open and could accommodate us. And so we made the move. And I've been here ever since.
That's wonderful, and you mentioned your passion for it. It seems like everybody that I have met in the film industry just has this this deep passion for what they're doing, and it shows in the work they produce. It shows in the ideas they have, the stories they want to tell. It's very emotional based kind of industry.
It is. I mean, so oftentimes I think that we look at the glitz and the glamour of Hollywood and film, but it's hard. It is really, really hard. And if you don't have the passion, you'll burn out. I mean, as much passion as I have, there are days I wake up just wishing, I could have been born an accountant.
I have those days
too. Ups and downs and, trying to put financing together and then you have, everything lined up and then 2008 comes along and changes the landscape of everything and you just you begin again.
Yeah. You formed this organization called Film for Change. It's a nonprofit, and it's basically there to help filmmakers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I created Film for Change back in 2005. I sort of swore off the industry. I was really struggling. I was living in L.A., and I really just didn't understand how to really make it in the industry. I had a little bit of success. I worked as a reader at Showtime and had a few people that I knew, but really wasn't getting very far. And so I just kind of gave up on it. I have to go another way. And then shortly after that, I ended up in a really bad car accident and was really lucky to come out of that. It took several months. Did a lot of damage to speech and language and took me a lot of time to just rehabilitate from that. And my doctor told me, he said, you were a split second away from not being here. He's like, so whatever it is you really want to do in life, do it. And so I really took it to heart. I really thought about it. And I thought about my situation and my struggles and what I was up against. And I decided that I wanted to create an organization that could help people like myself that were in a situation where they really just needed a community of other people that were going through these struggles to try to just tell stories. And so we created Film for Change, and, you know, I had some contacts in Cancun, so we went down there. And, of course, you know, the first couple of years, hurricanes sort of just completely leveled the town with it, the festival, and we sort of left that behind. But I had left it. The whole plan was left in good hands, and, you know, now there's the Cancun International Film Festival, which lives on today. But I wanted to avoid any further hurricanes and decided to start one in New Mexico.
Well, you touched on several points. One being having a doctor that encourages you to follow your passion and kind of leading down a different path of life. I think that's really terrific advice. And the other thing,
It was very fortunate words of wisdom, you know, and it's definitely sort of been a changing point in my life, you know, sort of my second act, so to speak.
Yeah. And had you had formal training in film? I mean, did you go through a film course or a degree or anything like that?
Well, I went to L.A. Film School. Mm-hmm. So I'd been writing stories and, you know, studied literature and philosophy and was really always sort of engaged in the human condition and the humanities. The technical side really came from just getting out there and making films.
Right. And for when you encountered people that were kind of in a similar situation as yourself that were having trouble getting their films made and that sort of thing, I imagine you were received pretty well offering help.
Well, absolutely. You know, and even sometimes it was just the smallest amount of help of being able to give somebody, you know, $50 so that they could submit to a film festival. You know, or helping somebody through a script and just giving them script notes, or, you know, connecting them to a cinematographer, an editor that they needed so they could finish their film.
And I'm guessing finance is one of the bigger issues that people face.
Oh, it's a monstrous issue. You know, it's so oftentimes people say, well, you know, how do you get money to make your film? And there's no simple answer to that other than you have to find people that have money that are willing to give it to you so that you can make your film. But that in itself is still multi-layered because it's usually involving developing relationships with people. And, you know, that's something that doesn't necessarily happen overnight. It's usually cultivating relationships over a longer period of time so that, you know, everybody's sort of comfortable. Even when you sit down and you say, okay, we want to make movies, and they say, okay, we have money and we want to make movies with this money. It's still not a very fast process.
Right.
You know, now with you know, crowdfunding and things like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, it makes things a little bit easier because there's a crowd of people out there that just want to support a concept or an idea or, you know, feel energized by being excited by the process of it.
Right, and the crowdfunding issue is it's a whole separate thing, and how to become effective, because when Kickstarter first came along, it was great. There were a couple of projects, and now there's just tons and tons of them. So you got to be able to find a way to make yourself either stand out or look for a particular niche that you're can relate to have them fund your project.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to a panel on Sunday, New Mexico Women in Film put on, and I think Jillanne Spitzmiller, who has DocuMentors, really expressed a great model. You know, and I think that's something that, you know, I encourage anybody to take a look at her site and what she's recommending on crowdsourcing.
Absolutely. I thought you looked familiar. I was there as well. It was a great panel discussion.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that was a great little panel. You know, I think it's something that, you know, filmmakers should often try to just engage in the community as often as they can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned building relationships to find funding for projects, and I'm sure it helps if you have If you have some short films under your belt to kind of demonstrate your abilities and what it is you're after, to be able to then establish a relationship and find somebody that's interested in the kind of stuff you do.
Absolutely. And I think just sort of establishing, you know, a track record of moving up sort of in budgets and in scope and in scale. You know, sometimes it's if you're making short films, but then all of a sudden try to jump into an arena where you're asking for $10 million to make your film, may not be the most logical or reasonable next step.
Right.
You know, but trying to maybe make a you know, a feature for $500,000 might be a little bit easier to entice investment given the track record that you have.
Right. And getting the films out there, part of that is the film festivals.
Absolutely. I think, you know, film festivals play such an important role, one, in just being able to celebrate the art of film and being able to, you know, look at story and what brings us together as a community. But it's also a great place for people to showcase their work, to share that work, and to meet other people that appreciate their work, that are engaged in the community of filmmakers and are engaged in the industry. And hopefully, you know, in those scenarios, people are able to make contact and build friendships and make relationships out of, you know, just sharing the common interest of passion for making film and telling story.
Right. It's a wonderful community to be a part of. Just sitting in a theater with people watching the movies that people in the audience have made. It's a wonderful experience. Rich, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be back in just a minute. We're back, and you're listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and my guest is Rich Henrich. And we've been talking about film festivals, and you're the director of the Albuquerque Film Festival?
Correct.
And are you the creator of it, or did it exist before and you came along and participated in it?
I created it with the you know, crazy group of filmmakers, you know,
right.
We all said, let's do this.
Uh-huh.
We all came together, and you know, it's all volunteers that put it on.
And when did it begin?
It started in 2009, August 2009.
So relatively recently.
Sure.
And is there a particular group of people you kind of target for the film festival? How does it operate?
Well, I mean, it operates, you know, based on programming. We just try to program the best films that we receive every year. And first and foremost, it's really trying to bring together the group of filmmakers. You know, that broader community of filmmakers is really the core audience that we're trying to attract. And then, you know, going out into the community and broadening that audience and that target to the people who appreciate film and story.
And it's all genres, it's all lengths. Is it open to anybody or just New Mexicans?
It's open to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's all lengths. We do shorts, features, documentaries. Last year we did some webisodes as well. Matt Page's web series, Enter the Dojo, was our winner on that. And, you know, happy to see that Matt's going on and having quite a bit of success with that series.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at the Lenzic the other night for the 3-Minute Film Festival. And
I was there too.
Oh, well, we ought to meet up one time.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful to see the kinds of stories that can be told in 3 minutes or less. And they were saying, they showed about 30 3-minute movies, but they were saying they had a couple hundred entries from all over the world for that show.
Yeah, I think that's just, it's such a great showcase of, you know, again, just storytelling, you know, and what can you do in 3 minutes?
Yeah.
There's just some wonderful, entertaining films, and it's great to just see that the range of creativity of, you know, what all these storytellers and filmmakers sort of bring to the screen for us to enjoy and to ponder.
Yeah.
I think we saw a great range from, you know, a little small, you know, social documentary on homelessness in Santa Fe to, mm-hmm. you know, great international stuff. Even, you know, Three Stools was a fantastic silent film.
Right.
You know, it's wonderful just to see that range.
Right, right. And the humor is just, I really enjoyed that. So there's the 3-Minute Film Festival, there's the Santa Fe Film Festival, there's Albuquerque Film Festival. Can there be too many film festivals in a state?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, you know, every festival is going to have its own programming. You know, it's just like if you're scanning through channels on your TV, you know, are there too many channels? Everyone has a different programming model. And I think that's the wonderful thing is that we have so many festivals in our state and, you know, so many wonderful opportunities to engage in this art form that we love and appreciate.
Right. And I agree with you. And if there were you know, having festivals all over the state, giving people the opportunity, if perhaps they can't get to Albuquerque or Santa Fe, to still be exposed to these things in their particular area. There's the coming up is the Sci-Fi Festival in Roswell, which is a really great premise
uh-huh.
too.
Yeah, and I just came across that, and I reached out to those guys, and you know, said, hey, let's just do an exchange of promotion.
Sure.
You know, and it's a wonderful thing because I just found out about what they're doing down there.
Oh wow, yeah. I was there last year. You weren't there last year, were you?
No, I missed it.
And yeah, it's a great idea, and I think it's based a little bit about on Albuquerque shootout. But they have a script writing contest first, and select 5 scripts, and then they get 5 crews to come in and shoot it, and then show them, which I think is a wonderful idea. They have the crew from Doña Ana County Community College and the FTT program there, and they're taking a bunch of students that will have the opportunity to work with the 5 crews that are making the movie. So it's kind of a win-win all the way around with that festival.
Oh yeah, you know, it's great to sort of see the concept from the Duke City Shootout live on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was such a wonderful event that took place every year, and glad to see, you know, that somebody recognized the value of that and sort of, you know, trying to recreate that in Roswell is a wonderful thing.
Right, right. And there's also the 48-hour film challenge coming up next month or in July as well. And that's a pretty interesting program.
Yeah, I've competed in that over the past 4 years. It's just fun, you know, and it's a great way to just get a group of people together that take a weekend and you make something out of it. And it's, you know, incredible experience. It's great for, you know, whether you're a first-time filmmaker jumping into it or you're experienced, you know, it's just, again, it's just coming together as a community and putting your teams together to make something that you can appreciate.
Right. Now, have you ever drawn something out of the hat that you say, oh, let me try again?
Oh, lots of times.
Yeah. But that's part of the challenge. You just
got to
do it. Yeah,
because that's the challenge is that, you know, your crew, you may come together and you may have, you know, all similar tastes because generally you made a couple short films together and then you draw something that's completely off of your map, you know, and that's the wonderful challenge is how do you take your creativity when faced with that challenge and you know, sort of achieve something that's artful with it.
Right, right. And just a minute or so left. What about the Geek Fest that's coming up?
Well, Geek Fest is sort of Geek Fest on film. We're just going to show a couple films we're going to do on Thursday, January or June 7th. We're showing the animation classic Heavy Metal. And then on Friday, we're going to do a little showcase called the 30-Second Attention Span Film Showcase. So they're all 30-second films, a little bit shorter than the 3-minute films. But if anybody can enter it, and it's just, you know, enter 30-second film. So we're going to do that showcase, and then we're screening the film With Great Power, the Stan Lee story. It's a documentary on Stan Lee's life. And we're doing this as a promotion for the Albuquerque Comic Expo, which is happening June 8th through the 10th. And we're looking forward to having Stan Lee come in and come into Albuquerque, and as well as looks like he's going to come in and introduce the film that night as well.
Oh, excellent. And that's going to be at the Chemo Theater in Albuquerque?
Correct. And you can get tickets at chemoticket.com. You can also look at ebqcomicexpo.com for more information on what those guys are doing, which is a fantastic event over that weekend.
Great. And they can find out about the Albuquerque Film Festival at what web address?
At ebqfilmfestival.com.
All right, terrific. On behalf of filmmakers in New Mexico, really appreciate all the work that you have done and the efforts you put in to help other filmmakers. I think it's really wonderful that you make these efforts, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thanks, Dirk. I appreciate the time, and look forward to seeing you this summer at Geek Fest and at the Albuquerque Fest, and probably run into you a few panels along the way.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Rich.
Have a great day.
This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and we'll be right back. And we're back. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. And just a reminder for all the New Mexico filmmakers and film workers out there that you can sign up on our website in our industry directory, nmfilm.com, and click on the industry directory tab. It's a free service that we offer to New Mexicans that are filmmakers, support services, an opportunity for other people to find out who you are, where you are, and be able to contact you. So take advantage of that. Right now we have Toby Ives on the phone from the New Mexico State Film Office. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Dirk.
And so we're going to be talking a little bit about some things coming up, the AFCI location trade show, our film liaison meeting, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, thanks for having me, Dirk. And I threw you to the wolves today, so I appreciate you helping me out with the radio show.
Oh, cat-like reactions. You know, you got to be able to go with the flow.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, if you don't mind, I'll also interject about the industry directory. One of the things I think that people sometimes forget is that what an impression our directory makes on outside productions who are considering filming in our state. So it's great to have people listed there because it just shows just the number of crew and vendors that we do have available to support productions that are considering filming here.
Sure. When you do a search and it comes up with 20 results, that is impressive.
Yes. Well, yes, and even more so in some of the other categories. So if you have questions about that, you can always call our office, but I do encourage people to add in the appropriate categories. I think you have, six each. You can put links to your websites, your resume, and like Dirk said, it's a free service, so we do encourage people to not only use it for themselves or to show productions what we have in New Mexico, but also to network with other people within the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I still encounter people that don't even know that we have this directory available to them. So I'm always reminding people, or if they're asking for information, I tell them you can sign up on our directory. So helping us get the word out.
So I apologize. I caused a digression there.
Oh, no problem. So let's progress then. The location trade show is coming up next month in Los Angeles, and the film office is, as always, going to have a representation out there. You'll be going out. So why don't you just talk a little bit about what this thing is?
Right. Well, first of all, AFCI stands for the Association of Film Commissioners International. And I last time I checked, I think they had over 350 international film commissions.
Yeah, something like that.
In New Mexico, off the top of my head, I know we have at least five film offices that are members of AFCI. So if you're interested in that organization, it's afci.org. Now, the Locations Trade Show is their big event, and I think our office has been going to this event, I want to say, at least 10 years that I know of. Mm. In the last couple years, they've changed around the dates and locations. Last year, I believe, it was they did it in conjunction with the Producers Guild of America.
Right, right.
But they decided, I imagine it was a bit overwhelming, and they've divided those two events out again. I believe the PGA event is coming up just the week before AFCI Locations Trade Show. Now, the AFCI Locations Trade Show this year is June 15th and 16th, which is a Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it's the New Mexico Film Office's main marketing event. It's very specific trade show. It's as it's aptly named, it's a locations trade show. So you get a lot of location managers, producers. They can all go to this show, which is at the LA Convention Center. And I believe it's you have to register, but it is free to the public.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite an extensive show, and it's a way for us to show New Mexico as a location and to promote our incentive. So it's a big deal. It's very long. It's it's really about what we have here and the resources. And this year we have the Otero Film Office from Alamogordo,
mm-hmm,
will be coming. The Albuquerque Film Office and the Santa Fe Film Office will be joining us at the trade show. And it's a big team effort. And I think it was a couple months ago we had Shoot Santa Fe on, which is a organization of various film-related and government entities of northern New Mexico that are will be promoting out there as well, doing some networking events too. So it's a great opportunity to showcase New Mexico.
Yeah, and it's nice that there's several organizations from New Mexico that are participating in that. I remember 2 years ago, Film Lincoln County, just after we got formed, participated.
Yep.
We sent out Debbie Jo to help talk to people, and the physical layout, there's a it's a large booth with monitors, and people will have the opportunity to see the 60,000 photographs that Don Gray has herded.
Don Gray. I mean, and several other people, but yes, Don,
yeah,
is our key to location photographs, as we emphasize every week. And it's a big deal to be able to have all the different categories. I mean, we do this by community. We do this by types. Like, we might have a portion of photographs or a sampling of photographs of diners or Western sets or, you know, anywhere USA, ranches. So you can break it down into the mentality of a locations manager or director, as well as the area of New Mexico, which can, you know, make a difference for the time of year or whatnot, or the look that the director is looking for and often fighting with the producer about, so.
Sure. Yeah. And so somebody can say, let me see, you know, I'm interested in bridges, and you can just bring up all the bridges that are in New Mexico. So it's the entire state that's being promoted.
Yeah. And then, of course, Alamogordo, Santa Fe, and Albuquerque, they're all AFCI members. They're all film offices. So they have an opportunity to talk more in depth about their communities, but also understanding that we're promoting the whole state. I mean, the idea is let's make sure New Mexico is looked at. And then, you know, once, you know, it's understood this is a viable place for the production, now let's break it down.
Right. And the show's also an opportunity for just to sit down and have some one-on-one time with people and to find out more in depth what they're interested in and kind of build personal relationships with folks.
Absolutely, and our director Nick Bignatis will be out there meeting with people, doing that as well. And you know, Don Gray will be helping with locations. I'll be helping with incentives. So it's a big team effort. And I think what happens, you know, and this is a industry based on relationships. It gives people some time to come up and say, hey, this is what I heard. Or, you know, I haven't stopped and really done my due diligence or research. Is this true, or is this still happening, or I had a friend that ... And there's a lot of that, like you said, FaceTime, where, you know, it gives people opportunity to stop and say, wow, I should be really thinking about New Mexico.
Yeah, right. And speaking of FaceTime and taking a different direction, we're going to have some FaceTime with some of the representatives around the state with our meeting with the film liaisons.
That's right, and that's coming up mid-July. And, you know, in the past we've had about 20, 22 different film liaisons from all over the state. The New Mexico Film Office, and I'm sure people have listened to the show, have heard me say this before, we're not involved in choosing who that contact is for the community. That is chosen by the community. But what we ask is that a main contact representing a film contact for whether it be a county, a city, a tribal liaison, we all get together once a year and we just talk about, you know, the differences in communities, what you can do and be prepared for when either the film office or production broaches that community. You know, we always are asking for location photographs so that you can represent your community. So it's an opportunity for some of the seasons liaisons, if you will, to talk about their experience on that level of government, to just, you know, how busy they are, or if, you know, some communities that only get one or two calls a year, or when the film office contacts the community and says, do you have that bridge that can be closed off, how to respond, and how the industry works. I mean, there's all just all sorts of things, but we're covering all of New Mexico. We're talking about liaisons from Raton to Silver City. You know, you talked about Lincoln County and all the different representatives for that county alone, let alone we have Carlsbad, we have Farmington, and, you know, all in between. So it really helps people understand the industry as well as disseminate information. It's really a great opportunity for FaceTime. So I encourage, if anyone is interested in that, I would say, Dirk, now that you've joined our office, which I'm very grateful for, I'm going to throw everyone your way and say if anyone needs more information, they should contact you.
Yeah, absolutely. They can send an email to me, dirk@nmfilm.com, and it's D-I-R-K. Having the liaisons is a great way of networking and making that community outreach and for everybody to get together. Toby, I appreciate you getting out of your meeting to be on the radio show this morning and talking about these things. I think you'll be doing the show maybe next week.
Yes, maybe we'll sort that out, but it'll be you or me, that's for sure. And I want to throw out real quick that at nmfilm.com we have more information about the state liaison network, film liaison network.
All right, Toby, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks,
You're
Dirk.
Listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC, and we'll be right back. This is New Mexico Film Works, and we have John Armijo, film historian, on the phone with us. Hi, John.
Aloha.
And we're talking about Native American locations, part four today, aren't we?
Yes, sir. This week we're going to visit some of the amazing locations nestled in the various pueblos. If the landscape around Zia Pueblo wasn't a real place, it would most definitely be something you imagined in a dream, perhaps a nightmare, or a journey to the planet X, or galloping away from the bad guys, bullets whizzing way too close to your noggin. Or maybe it's some prehistoric roadrunner monster daring you to invade its perch on Gypsum Ridge. Cabezon Arroyo, with its steely waterfall and high walls of impacted rock, is the perfect scene for the poor soul who crawled on his hands and knees through the desert long after his horse bit the dust in the grueling heat, only to find salvation in this unlikely habitat for water, cool, clear water. If the hoodoos, yep, that's what they're called, if that doesn't conjure something scary or something sweet, you know, like a Twinkie, then go to Coral Canyon, Better yet, get stranded at night in the gravel mine area where you'll hear the ground beneath you crackle like something burrowing up towards you. White Mesa, Red Mesa, the South breaks, the dream goes on. The village of Acoma Pueblo over in Cibola County dates to 1539 and is called Sky City for good reason. The ancient village is perched atop a 300-foot-high mesa. Paul Newman and Lee Marvin were there when they filmed Pocket Money in 1972. This was first film under the partnership of Newman, Sidney Poitier, Barbra Streisand, and Steve McQueen. Carole King sings the title song. In 1970, Roger Corman invaded Acoma with his zany film called Gas. That's spelled with three extra S's. The aerial photography of the village is worth the price of admission. Just stunning. How they let Corman run rampant with a bunch of automobiles in the village is another reason to watch this film. Nambe Pueblo is another dream landscape filled with a majestic waterfall surrounded by a canyon of rugged rock formations and forbidding terrain that's meant to let the mind wander wherever it wants to go, like maybe to Nambe Lake or Nambe Cliffs. You pick your dream. For 25 arid days in the month of June and July in 1972, in heat varying from 105 to 115 degrees, the cast and crew of Molly and Lawless John, a Western, slugged it out in some of the most beautiful, rugged, unreachable location areas to be found across the state of New Mexico. One of those locations was Nambe Pueblo. The others were Cerrillos, La Mesilla, Pecos, Santa Clara Pueblo, and White Sands National Monument. In 2010, Steven Soderbergh shot scenes for Haywire at Nambe. Laguna Pueblo over in Cibola County is also rife with rugged rock formations, cliffs, one fantastic cave, and a place they call Mushroom Rocks. The barren desertscape with its gouged-out ravines and the Pueblo Mountains dotting the landscape leaves everything to one's imagination. It is believed that the ancestors of the Laguna Indians have lived there since the 1300s. In 1914, Biograph sent a cast and crew to Laguna to shoot the narrative short film A Romance of the Pueblo, a comedy called Way Out West, directed by Fred Niblow and starring box office stars William Haynes, Buffalo Bill Jr., Francis X. Bushman, and Ann Dvorak, returned to the Pueblo in 1930. This year, The Last Stand, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, shot at Laguna, and last year Laguna was the backdrop for Jackie, starring Holly Hunter, and Just Like a Woman, starring Sienna Miller. Okay, Owinge means Place of the Strong People, and is located in Rio Arriba County. This is the headquarters for the eight northern pueblos. The pueblo, formerly called San Juan, played host to John Carpenter's Vampires in 1998, and in 2008, it was the location for two critically acclaimed films, Brothers, and for the locally produced film, Spoken Word. Spoken Word was based on the poetry of Santa Fe native John Ray Sandoval. The script was so good that the producers were able to lure actor Ruben Blades away from his day job as Minister of Tourism in the Republic of Panama to play a leading role in the film. This was also the first time that a Santa Fe production company used a venture capital model to create funding for homegrown independent films. Mm. Luminadia Films is the brainchild of producers Karen Koch and Bill Conway. Dirk, the Wild Bill Hitchcock TV series, debuted in 1951 and starred Guy Madison and Andy Devine. What was the name of Wild Bill's horse?
John, that was before I was born. How would I know that?
Buckshot.
Buckshot.
Wild Bill Hitchcock, by the way, was a real person and the Marshal of Abilene, Kansas. He was also a Union scout during the Civil War, and he scouted for George Armstrong Custer before Custer became a general. So there you go.
All right, John, and I have a question for you. When filming on the Native American lands, on the pueblos, That money that's spent there is not eligible for the state incentives. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the reason is because Native American land, they're a, I can't think of the word.
Like a sovereign
they're
nation?
They're a sovereign nation.
Yeah.
Yep, so they don't pay taxes.
Right. So, and that's the idea of the incentives is it's only eligible for the state tax expenses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you very much, John. Appreciate your in-depth descriptions of all the Native American lands. And is there going to be a part five?
No, we're going on to other lands.
Okay, terrific. Thanks, John.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, John Armijo. And a quick list of a few things coming up shortly on May 31st at the Chemo, a screening of three Trifecta Plus films from Scott Midler. June 2nd, the showing of Misrepresentation. This is a movie about how women are portrayed in the media. That's being shown at the UNM Continuing Ed Center on June 2nd, 9:30. To one, and you can find out more information about www.misrepresentation.org. And on June 7th and 8th, as Rich mentioned earlier in the show, the Geek Fest is at the Chemo Theater, and you can find out more information about that at albuquerquefestival.com. And our AFCI location trade show is coming up the 15th and 16th of June. And June 22nd and 24th is the Roswell Sci-Fi Film Festival, and all kinds of great stuff. So you've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I've been your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be back next week.